2 years ago, something like that. And man, I just instantly connected with him. My son's name is Kale. K-A-L-E. Really?
Have you told
me? I don't know. It apparently wasn't that important to you.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So my son is 10 years old. His name is Kale. Anthony Godfrey. And then my daughter, she's 15, and she was too scared to come to camp. She was terrified of all of you. She's just extremely introverted. Her name is Kayton, and she's beautiful. I just love her. And no slight about who you think is the most beautiful woman on the planet, guys, but my wife is that woman, and I've been married to her for almost 18 years. Oh, my goodness. That has just gone really, really quick. And you're wondering, he's too young to be married for 18 years. So, all right. I just turned 40 on Friday. My birthday was last Friday. I turned 40 years old. And I am feeling every bit of it. That walk from dinner to here. My goodness, I'm going to lose 15 pounds at camp. I promise. Oh, all right. So, that's me in a nutshell. That's my family. Man, I'm just excited to be here. Kale called me up and said, "Hey, man, I really would love for you to come and come and speak." And I said, "Man, I'll pray about that." I got really spiritual. But inside, I'm doing jumping jacks and flips. I'm like, man, I'm there. I can't wait to come. It's my first trip to Michigan, and so that's pretty cool. I got to go to New Philly last March for the Certainty Conference, so that was pretty cool. So that was my first time in Ohio. Any Buckeye fans? Okay. We will pray for you to be right with Jesus. I am a Jayhawk fan, and I have no room to talk. So, it is that's how bad it is. That's where I'm from. All right. So you notice that I am short. That makes me the second tallest person in my entire family. So, yeah, that stinks. I'm bald. Not by choice. 18 years old. I lost my hair. Yeah. Some of you. I'm just saying. It's coming. I already see it. And if you also notice this, it's a very slow metabolism. It's not the fact that I overeat. It's just a very, very slow metabolism. By getting all that to just say, man, I feel like I've gotten a raw deal a little bit. Where I live, the way I look. I mean, it is hard work making something this pretty look so bad. But I do a good job at it. But I do. Sometimes when I was your age, I sat and I cried. I mean, there was days I would cry myself all the way home. And by the way, this is the truth. My Brett Bartlett impersonating, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Right? But here's the reality. I did walk to and from school uphill both ways. I did. I had a 2-mile walk to school, and my mom lived. I feel like she lived there. She worked at the hospital, and that was uphill. And I had to walk uphill and then uphill. So I did walk to and from school uphill both ways. Not very many people can really say that and mean it. All right, so I say all that just to say, man, there were days that I would walk to school. I would walk home from school crying because I felt like I just got the raw end of the stick, man. I always felt like I was the butt of every joke. I just felt like I was not fast enough, not tall enough, definitely ain't good looking enough. And I'm just, man, life was miserable for me. Sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. Really, really hard for me. Anybody else ever feel like you've got the raw end? Like you were set up to fail, like the world is against me. Oh, my goodness. So, all right, you can put your hands down. Some of y'all need deodorant. But I'm just saying, the moment I thought youth camp, I thought, man, what was I like at 11, 12, all the way to 18? And I'll just be honest, I was a miserable kid. My teenage years, I got a word for it. It just wasn't very good. Right? I went through some difficult times, but I met Jesus Christ the summer after my sophomore year of high school. And life began to change pretty drastically for me. Amen, right? Praise the Lord for that. But man, I saw a bunch of hands that went up and says, man, that is me. I feel like I have been given a raw deal. I feel like I have been shortchanged. And like the world's against me. And some of you weren't honest enough to raise your hand. And I get that. Because if somebody would have stood up and asked me that, I would just like, dude, I'm not even listening to anything you have to say. And so I just want to introduce kind of the guy we're going to look at over the next 3 days, 4 days. 1 Kings chapter 15 is where you should be turned. Is everybody there? 1 Kings chapter 15 is where I would love for you to go. I want to introduce you to this guy named Asa, King Asa. Is anybody in here named Asa? Man, you got shortchanged. I'm just saying, that's a really good name. His name means healer. His name means physician. His name means to make whole. That's what his name means. And fitly named guy. This guy right here has been rocking my world for the past few years. And I just wanted to share it with you, the things that God has been showing me, the things that God has been revealing to me in my own life through this guy. One of my favorite things to do is do character studies in the Bible. Find a Bible character and just study that guy's life or study that woman's life. I just love doing character studies. And so here's what you'll find. I'm just going to suck up next to you as we're walking the long way from dinner to back. I'm just saying. I want to know your name. I want to know your story. I want to know everything about you because I love that. I love character story. I just love to know you. And you need to know me. Let's just be honest. You need to know me because I'm just important. And so he says in 1 Kings chapter 15, this dude Asa was, let me just say this, he was set up to fail. So 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. So that's now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. Well, thanks. That's a whole lot of information. I don't care, right? I don't care about this. What does this dude, like thousands of years, have to do with me? Check this out, verse 2. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, and the daughter of Abishalom. Pay attention to that. His mom's name is Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Verse 3. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. So what do you see out of these first three verses? Is Asa, his dad, Abijam, he is one wicked dude. He never does anything right. And so here's Asa growing up in a home with parents, with family, with relatives, that nobody has a relationship with God. No one's doing what's right. And they're supposed to be ruling God's people. All right, so get this. Abijam is following in his father's footsteps. Why? Because his dad followed in his father's footsteps. And let me tell you, I live in a town of 5,700 people. 80% are almost at poverty. Almost 80% of the people are in poverty. No one's making anything. 65% of the homes are broken homes. Over 65. Every single one of my daughter's friends, none of them have both mother and dad in the house. None of them. Not a one. And I'm sure that's true in your area as well. But it breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart. And so there's over 70% of the people, and I know I'm just giving you numbers, but this is what it is. You need to know this. Sin is generational. Sin is absolutely generational. You will pick up the sins of your father, and you will pick up the sins of your mother. Now, one thing our local sheriff's department has recently done on their Facebook page is anytime they arrest somebody, they blast their photo up on Facebook, and they say what the charge is. I'm like, that's pretty stinking awesome. I love that. As long as it's not my ugly mug, we're good. Right? Here's what's amazing to me. As I see it, and I recognize that guy. I went to school with that guy. And I scroll to the next picture, and it's his daughter. I scroll to the next picture. Oh, my goodness. And I'm looking at, these are families being arrested at the exact same time for selling and making methamphetamine. That dad has got the daughter into the business. That breaks my heart. And then I realize they live on the other side of the block from me. Man, sin is generational, isn't it? And let me tell you, I picked up a lot of sins of my father. How about you? I picked up a lot of stuff. I've picked up a lot of things just from growing up. I have a propensity to be too addicted to everything. My entire family are gamblers, every single one of them. I want to gamble all the time. They're all drunks. They're all this. They're all, I mean, oh my goodness, my family is so messed up. Asa's family? One messed up family. I mean, completely. When God says this in verse 3, and he walked in all the sins of his father which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. God ain't playing. He's shooting straight. How would you like your name to be in the Bible? He messed up. I don't want my name in the Bible with he messed up big time. Why? Because he's following the footsteps of his father. So Solomon starts really good and he finishes serving false gods. Solomon has a son named Rehoboam. He does a really good job. Like in a few weeks, he rips the kingdom in two. Two of them go with him. 10 tribes go to the north. And man, the kingdom is never brought back together entirely. And then Rehoboam has his son named Abijam. And Abijam messes it up. And now here is Asa. And his dad isn't doing what's right. Now, you remember this in verse 2? And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. No, there's not a whole lot talks about here in Abijam just because he's wicked. But I want you to see in verse 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Abijam is dead. Asa is now the king. Everybody tracking with me? Y'all with me? Asa's upbringing, good or bad? Any example of righteousness, any example of right doing, it's all to work from the floor up, right? It is messed up. That is Asa's life. Now look at this, verse 10. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was who? What's the Bible say? Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Something wrong in the neighborhood. What is up with that? Why is Asa's mom also Asa's daddy's mom? That's gross, I'm just saying. There's something strange in the neighborhood. There's something going on here. Now, we don't know if this is really his mother or if it's a grandmother. It doesn't really know, but we know that mama's messed up. Right? Daddy's messed up. That's messed up. I'm reading along Abijam. Oh, his mom was Maacah. Oh, that's good. What's up with his son having the same mom? I don't know. That's head scratcher for me. There's something up here. Would you all agree with this? That Asa's life, he was set up to fail. He should not succeed. Everybody agree with that? Man, that is my life, man. Not set up to succeed. I am set up to fail. I grew up in Kansas. I win. I got you beat. But not just Kansas. I grew up in Southwest Kansas. You ever heard of Dodge City? Everybody's trying to get out of Dodge. You ever notice that? Nobody wants there. They're trying to get out of Dodge City. Okay, well, I grew up 2 hours west of Dodge City, spitting distance from Colorado. Anybody ever been to Colorado? Do you remember driving into Colorado and there's a big sign that says, "Welcome to wonderful, beautiful Colorado"? You're like, yeah, it's nothing but desert and yucca plants. That's where I grew up. I grew up next to a yucca plant. That's what I grew up next to. That's where I'm from. And let me tell you, my mom and my dad, they got married. She was 18 when they got married. Here I come. And my dad left when I was 2 weeks old. He had me in his hands, and he about lost me across the room because I wouldn't quit crying. And he had to work the next day. And so he had me pulled back like a football, ready to launch me across the room. You can imagine the scene, right? My dad left when I was 2 weeks old. I never saw him again until the day I got married. I did not invite him, by the way. He showed up to the wedding with a sister I did not know. I'm like, there's a time and a place for that. Probably not the day I'm getting ready to marry the most gorgeous woman on the planet. You kind of ruined it for me. My dad is a very wicked man. And I've got a lot of siblings that I don't know. Because he's pretty good at what he does, if you can put two and two together. That's my dad. I don't know him. And let me tell you, I want to be like him all the time. My flesh wants to be just like him. My flesh is always wanting to be drift. Why? Because you pick up the sins of your father even when they're not around. And so my mom, she had another little boy, my brother Derek. And not from the same guy. Hello. So half-brother raising up in the house and single mom in western Kansas trying to make it. I'm living on government cheese and rice and those really, really bad hamburger helper meals. And most of the time, the only food I got was at school. There may be somebody like that in the room. You know what it's like to go home and there's nothing in the cabinet. That's how I grew up. I grew up poor. There's poor, and then there's poor. I grew up poor. Our family was the only family that spoke English south of the tracks. I grew up in a town of 1,200 people, south of the tracks, lived in shanty towns, holes in the ceiling, holes in your floor. That's where I grew up. And everybody else lived like that, so I didn't know any better. Right? I'd go to my friend's house, and they're watching the Huxtables and whatever that. I'm like, they don't live like that. We have holes in the floor, and we have rats running around. We have cockroaches everywhere. And my mom's working three jobs just to try to make it. And I never saw my mom growing up, ever. She was home after I went to bed and up and gone before I woke up. And that's how I grew up. Anybody relate? Don't raise your hand. I'm not trying to give you a sad song. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background. Because all signs say Tony's going to fail. And Tony's going to be an addict. And Tony's going to be a statistic. And Tony's going to have a whole lot of children. And they're not going to know their dad. That's what all signs point to. I was bullied bad in the school. Bullied bad. I was a pipsqueak, tiny runt. I know that's hard to imagine. But I was. I was picked on every day. Ryan Schwederman had my name. Man, he had my name. And the school we were in, we were such a small school. We had the elementary school all the way through high school. I mean, they were separated by a long corridor, but pretty much you were toast. And I would do everything I could to find a different exit every day. And I don't know how he knew, but he knew where I was going to come out every day. And I was punched in the face. I was all those things. I was bullied hard. And I began to hate myself. I began to just hate life. I hated going to school. I hated everything about myself. I didn't like the way I looked. I've been in one fight ever in my life where a punch was thrown. There's a whole lot of this, you know. But no punches were ever thrown. I got one fight because I talked about some kid's mom. And he jacked me in the mouth. That's how I got these two nasty buck teeth. Right? He just pow! Right in the swimming pool. They went down. I was like, ah. I'll walk around no teeth for a few years. I mean, then they come in like gnarly, it's bad. Look in the mirror. I just hated who I was. And I got very, very depressed. Very, very depressed. And there were a few times I considered suicide. in a room this full, I guarantee there's somebody in this room that has considered that. Praise the Lord, I never did that. I didn't need 13 reasons why. I didn't need it. I was completely depressed. I was to the point where I was considering suicide. And then my mom shows up one day and says, "Hey, I got a new job." Well, good. Does that mean we get to have bologna tomorrow? No, we're moving to Iola, Kansas. Where is that? And we moved to this town of 5,700 people. And it was massive to me, coming from where I'm coming from. It was my eighth grade year. I moved to a new school. Brutal. I'm like, it's an 8-hour trip from western Kansas to eastern Kansas at 55 miles an hour. And the whole time I'm thinking, I get to make a new name for myself. I get to be somebody different. Nobody knows me. I'm gonna be the tough guy. No one's gonna pick on me. And the first day of school, I come in there cocky and arrogant, and they pick me up and put me on a bench. It had just rained. You ever been heard of bench wiped? Have you ever been bench wiped? You know what bench wiped is? Some of y'all gotta get your game. Bench wiped is the bench is completely soaking wet, and they take you, sit you down, and they run you down the entire length of it to dry it off so that they can sit down. That was my first day of school. I didn't go to class. I went home. I said, "Mom, I can't do this. You moved me here 8 hours away from my grandma, from my family, from anybody I knew, and I'm here, and now I'm getting bench wiped." She goes, "Son, you're going to have to figure it out. I don't know." My mom wasn't very, like, huggy, huggy, lovey, lovey. She's like, "You better figure it out." And so sure enough, it rains the next day, the second day of school. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." So I said, "I got this." I put in an extra pair of clothes into my backpack. I just knew this is how it's going to be. And I saw them. They're waiting for me. It's like a bass to the perch. It's like, here he comes. And I just walked right on past them, and I just ran, and I dove down the bench myself. I just surfed it. I was soaking wet. I walked in, gave the high five to the principal, went in the bathroom. They never bench wiped me again. I took the fun out of it. It's no fun. This guy's a little crazy. Man, that's how I grew up. Felt like I was completely set up to fail. What about you? Now, I'm not trying to give you a sob story so you feel sorry about me. Because I know many of us in this room have gone through hell on earth. Did I say that? I already did. That you have been given a raw deal. That you've been in a spot where mom or dad's not in the home. Or you're not as tall as you want to be. Or you're not as pretty as you want to be. Or that acne won't go away. Or that deep depression's inside of you and you can't shake it. And you feel like you've got the raw end. You feel like you've been set up to fail. And some of you are getting older, and you're juniors and you're seniors, and you don't know. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen when you graduate from this. All you know is that the world's going to come at you really, really fast. And if you hold on to the baggage of the past, I guarantee you will not succeed. You will not succeed. You will become a statistic. Because if people call you a failure enough, if people call you a brat long enough, if people call you names long enough, you'll prove them right. And here is Asa growing up in this house where his daddy doesn't do what's right, his grandfather doesn't do what's right, his great-granddaddy doesn't do what's right. Everybody's failing. Verse 11. And Asa did that which was what? Weak. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's not what you should have read. You should have read, and Asa did that which was evil as his father did. That's what you should have read, but verse 11 doesn't say that. The theme of this camp is dare, isn't it? Dare. And so here's your first blank. You ready for this? I dare you to break free from the cycle of failure. I dare you to break free from the cycle of failure. Look what happens in verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Do not ever allow your background, that's your next blank. Don't allow your background to hinder you from being who God made you to be. Amen? Do not let your background dictate and determine who you are. Don't let it determine whose you are. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of the King. Why would you let the mirror say anything else? Why would you let a schoolmate say anything different? Why would you let a family member say, you ain't nothing, you ain't never gonna be nothing? Well, I got news for you. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of the King. Who are you to speak to me like that? That's the heart of Asa. That is the heart of Asa. And I got news for you. Every single one of us in this room set up to fail. Why? We're all born into sin. We're all born into sin. Every single one of us taking on the sin nature of our Father. And there are some people in this room that do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you have taken the sin nature of your father. The Bible says that because Adam sinned, he passed his fallen nature on to his son. Passed it on to his son all the way down to you. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. You were set up to fail. Maybe you're sitting here today going, life's good. I am good looking. I am tall. And I'm talented. I'm the quarterback. Who cares? If you don't do anything about your sin nature, you will fail. You will fail. If you're here today and you don't know for a fact, you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, you need to get that right today. Don't be waiting until Tuesday, Thursday. Don't be waiting. Just deal with it now. Deal with it now. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And if you say, well, I don't know. I just say, well, then you're not. How about we get it right today? Amen? Mm-hmm. Don't walk out those doors until you meet Jesus Christ today. He wants to save your soul. Don't allow your background to hinder you from being who God made you to be. Listen, you live what you believe. The way you live your life is a reflection of what you believe. Verse 11 says that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In whose eyes? The Lord's eyes. You get that? That means he's seeing it from God's perspective. You see that? He's living his life according to God's perspective. He's living his life according to the way that God sees it. The way that you view God is the way you live your life. You live what you believe. How many of you saw the mice on the way here? Anybody see the mice on the way here? I'm walking along by the beach. And I'm looking at all the canoes thinking, man, they're going to have fun because this guy ain't getting no canoe. Every time I'm in one, boop. This canoe, they don't mix. So I'm not getting in. But I'm looking at them going, oh man, they're going to have a blast. And there are mice everywhere. I thought, ladies are going to have a blast. This is going to be good. You live what you believe. Let me tell you a quick story just to illustrate this. Our church down in Texas, when I pastored down in Texas for 5 years, we had an arson bust through my office window. Pour accelerant all over my office and lit it on fire. It lost the entire building. So we had to start meeting in the YMCA. That's cool. I can play basketball every day. That's awesome. All right, so we go to the YMCA. We're meeting. So every single Sunday, we had to go there, sweep the floors, set it all up for church. Well, there's this one lady who's the sweetest Southern lady. Y'all, I'm just saying. She was so sweet. She was awesome. I just love Miss Kim. Well, I seen a mouse earlier. And I'm just pushing the broom, going, stay in the hole, we'll all be good. She gets there, and I said, hey, just so you know, when the kids get here, there may be a mouse show up. She goes, I don't like mice. I can't do it. I said, Miss Kim, you're going to have to suck it up. We have kids that need Jesus, and it'll be all right. And so she's sweeping, and she's doing this deal, you know. She's wearing those, like, men, we don't wear shoes like this. But those, like, spaghetti strap sandal things. I don't know what they are. Spaghetti straps are here, right? All right, so wearing these sandals, open-toed things. Well, we're in a gym, and they got it all marked off for volleyball. They got it marked off for different things, and some of that tape was standing up. And so she's just moving backwards, and she forgets about the mouse. And then that foot just grazes that tape. Miss Kim can jump. She can fly. She ran out the gym, turned the corner, feet sliding, and she ran right into her husband's arms. Go get it. Go kill it. And he comes in there. Where's the mouse? I said, it's tape. But that was awesome. I wish I got that on video. In her mind, there was a mouse out to get her. And it affected the way she lived her life. It affected her present tense. And that's where some of us are today. We're in the exact same situation. In your mind, you've got a preconceived idea of who you are and what you are and how the deck has been stacked against you. And that's how you live your life. I'm never going to be good enough. It's never going to be right. I come to camp, I get right with Jesus, and 3 weeks later I'm falling into sin. And you're beating yourself up. You're allowing your background to dictate who you are and whose you are. And you have a very low view of God. You have a very low view of God. Because the way you live your life is a reflection on how you view God. Some of you are holding deep and hard onto your sin. Because you don't think God can handle it. You're holding on to your eternal destiny because you don't think that God can save you. Let me just say, you live what you believe. I love this in verse 11. He says that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. That means he's living his life according to God's perspective. How about we do that? How about we start looking at our life from his perspective? How about I start living my life as if he's the one that's going to judge me? And he is. How about I live my life as if he's the standard instead of my own standards? That's Asa. I don't care what my dad did. I don't care what my grandfather did. I don't care what my great-grandfather did. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, you might have been able to put two and two together. I'm the only individual in my family that knows Jesus. There's not a soul. Now, my dad's family, I don't even know. I don't have a clue. Don't even know them. On my mom's side of the family, not one aunt, not one uncle, not one cousin. None of them know Jesus. I should not be standing here. But I serve a risen Savior. He saved my soul. And I met Jesus Christ just before my junior year. Praise the Lord. That there was a geeky, stupid kid named J.D. Hillstead that loved me enough to tell me the truth. I couldn't stand that guy. Hated him. He always just shot it straight. And I just wanted to punch him right in the face. Kept inviting me to church. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to church. Not going to happen. And I always found myself at his house. Because I appreciated somebody that would shoot it straight. Even though I hated it. And his mama could flat cook. But I remember there was two girls showed up. And they were so sweet. And hot. And after they left, I said, they go to your youth group? He goes, yeah. I said, I am there! And so God uses my perversion to get me into church. And I'm hearing the gospel. And I'm hearing, and the whole thing, I don't even care what they're talking about because I'm just looking at Trisha and Trina. I'm thinking, if I play my cards right, I can move on up in the world. That's my thoughts. And the whole time I'm hearing the word of God, the whole time I'm hearing the gospel. And this is a church that doesn't teach discipleship. This is the church that is messed up doctrinally. They had salvation. And I went to youth camp. I did all those things. And I didn't care about any of it. I just cared about Trisha and Trina. I thought, 2-3 years, they'll finally come around. That's how messed up this guy is. 2 or 3 years? Come on. And it's after my sophomore year of high school. I'm messing around in a cemetery. Doing some things tied to the occult. And I'm not going to share too much of that. Because that is not glamorous. Very, very dangerous. And I almost went the opposite way. I started to get into some very satanic things. It just so happens my friend JD is there because I'm there. Long story short, I about wet myself a few times that night. I was so scared. And we end up at a friend's house. And they're just talking about the Lord and how happy they are about salvation. And the whole time, I'm freaked out. And I just cut right in the middle. I said, you guys keep talking about salvation. You guys keep talking about this Jesus and this cross. What in the world are you talking about? And the whole conversation stopped. And they came. And they sat on the floor around me. And I'm in an overstuffed chair with the stuffing coming out. And they shared the gospel. The greatest news I've ever heard. It's the first time somebody ever told me that God loved me. And I felt so unloved and unlovable. And I hated myself. I hated everything about me. I hated everything about my situation. I hated everything about my life. And they told me that somebody loved me. And I don't know where these wet things started falling down from my face. I couldn't believe it, that the God of the universe would care about me. Maybe that's where you are. You feel so separate from the Lord, you feel so, you hear people praising the Lord, you're like, what in the world are they doing? You feel so separate from God. Let me just tell you this. He loves you. He loves you so much that he died for you. But didn't just die for you, he died as you. Now, I had a dad that wouldn't give me two months, let alone his life. But I have a father in heaven who gave me his son. And he took my sin upon himself. And he died a death that I deserve. Come on. That's pretty awesome. And he took it to the grave. And this is how awesome my God is. In and of his own power, he conquered sin, death, and hell. And he rose again in newness of life. And then he sent J.D. Hillstead, dork and all, to tell me the truth and let me know But that's what he did for me. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And immediately the fireworks started going off. Literally, it was July 4th. It was awesome. Fireworks going off everywhere. I'm bawling. I'm an absolute mess. I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let me just say, my junior and senior year, I could care less what Jeremy Colburn said about me. We're pretty good friends now. I hated his guts in school. And now he's coming to me with Bible questions. Working at Sonic flipping burgers, by the way. I didn't care what anybody said about me. I wanted to know more about what the Bible had to say. I couldn't get enough of it. And then I'm part of a church that's not even teaching me the Bible. And I'm starting to figure that thing out. And I start said, fine, I'm done serving Jesus. I'm done with it. Because I saw a whole lot of fakeness. I saw no authority of Scripture. I saw nobody living a changed life. And I got sick of it. And I said, I'm done. And I walked. I would never suggest doing this. But I walked out of the church. That's it. I'm done. I left my drum set behind. I'm a horrible drummer, but I left it behind. And I went to work at a grocery store for $6 an hour. And that was going to be my lot in life. I guess that's as far as I'm ever going to get. I'm going to go stock groceries. And then there was a price check. And I hated those. I'd stop what I'm doing. And I'd go up front. And the angels started singing. She was hot. The grocery store had the big windows out front, and the light was just coming in, and it was just hitting my wife. I knew she was going to be my wife. Hit my wife right in the face, and I was like, I'm in lust. Not love. Hear me right. I was in lust. And I have to go up to her because she's the one that price checked me. And I don't know how to talk. Man, she was hot. So we get through all that mess. And then I find out how old she is. She's a little younger than I am. Let's put it that way. I'm like, well, that's never going to happen. I'm going to get arrested. So some time goes by and we reconnect. And man, God just began to connect us together. We begin to have Bible conversations in the break room, and I realized she kind of knows her stuff. And here I'm over here, a Pentecostal dude, holding on to some doctrine, and she's over here just laying out Bible verses. I'm like, there's something up with this chick. And she goes, hey, will you come to church? I'm like, hello, Trina, Tricia. Yeah, hello, Kara. Sure. I'll come to church. I don't care. So I show up at church, and the pastor's preaching out of the book of Acts. And I'd never heard preaching of the Word of God with power and authority in my life. I had never heard that. These guys actually believe the Bible. I need this. And so I looked over her, and I'm looking at him. Her, him. And I realized, if she or I ever make it, I need this. And so I no longer came for her. I came because of what was being poured out from the pulpit. And I couldn't get enough. So next thing I'm calling the pastor, hey, let's go fishing. 5 o'clock in the morning, that's when they're biting. He's like, not a morning person at all. But he's there. He just begins to pour into me and he disciples me. And here I am. Praise the Lord. And I get to marry the pretty beautiful woman. I got to marry her. Oh, man. Pretty awesome. God blesses those in fellowship. I'm just saying. All right, quickly. Let's get to verse 12. Because what does it mean when he does that which is right in the eyes of the Lord? Well, verse 12 says, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Verse 13, and also Maacah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. Listen, verses 12 to 13, you're going to have to deal with some real difficult issues, aren't you? If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have to deal with some issues. And one of the first issues you're going to have to deal with, here's your first blank, is cultural issues. Culture. You're going to have to take on culture. And the reason I'm saying culture and not homosexuality is because that's what's happening here. Look what he says in verse 12. And he took out away the Sodomites. That's the Bible's way of saying homosexuals. Right? That's what he's saying. In a room this big, I guarantee there's somebody struggling with that. Struggling with the tendencies, struggling with some thoughts. Asa takes it head on. Why? Because that was the culture of the day. That was just pervasive. Kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah, it was just the culture. It was accepted. Huh. I think we might live in a culture like that today. Huh? So he takes on culture. That means he's taking on pervasive sin. He's taking on things that go against God's intention and how it's created. Hello. Somebody. That means some of us need to handle our porn issues today. Don't wait. Deal with it today. Some of you hooking up with your boyfriend and girlfriend. Let's deal with that today. I'm sorry, I just shoot things straight. That's just how I am. Because that's what the text says. Some of it's homosexuality, some maybe it's drug addiction, whatever it is. It's against what God has created you to be. It's against what God has made you to be. Let's deal with that. I don't care what culture says or what culture finds acceptable. We're not doing it for the culture's eyes. Verse 11, we do it for whose eyes? The Lord's eyes. Not yours. His. How does he see it? What's his perspective? That's how I see things. Let me tell you, I've had a lot of opinions in my life. And I got a lot of them. And I've had a lot of opinions change because of what I read in this book. This becomes the authority, not me. And not some talking jabberhead on TV. Now notice this. He also, verse 12, he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the what? Some of you are not reading the same Bible I am. And removed all the idols that his fathers had made. All right, so here's your next blank. It's religion. Some of you are religious. You religiously come to youth. You religiously come to youth camp. You religiously attend church. You religiously read your Bible. You religiously do a whole lot of things. The problem is you don't know Jesus. Right? Oh, I was the only one that looked that. Some of you are stuck in your religion. And you're serving an idol. You're not serving the Lord. I want to call you true worship. Not false worship. Are you with me? I love that you're all standing here praising the Lord. Because we ain't praising the band. Amen? We're praising the Lord. I love that we're all standing here. That's not worship. Are you with me? That's a pet peeve of mine. Let's call you worship. No, that's praise. God gets the praise. How do you worship? Humility, humble, low, submitted. That's worship. I do it in his eyes, not my own. That's worship. And we have idols here. And he takes out these idols. Why? Because they're worshiping their view of who God is. Romans chapter 1. We don't have time to go to Romans chapter 1. But you might want to write that reference down. Romans chapter 1 says that people come face to face with God and they don't want to acknowledge God for who he is, and so they go and mold and shape their own image of who he is. And so idolatry is not a search for truth. It's not. If somebody's an idol worshiper, they're not searching for truth, they're rejecting it. Let me tell you, I used to serve a different God than I serve today. Oh, he had the same name. Called him the same name. I even read his name in the Bible. But I had a different idea of who he was. I had a religious idea of who he was. Oh, I prayed. Didn't pray to him, but I prayed. I had a different idea of who God was. I wasn't allowing Scripture to tell me who he was. I was allowing society to tell me who he was. And I would say things like, well, the God I serve, you know, he wouldn't... Really? Because that's not what he says in Matthew chapter 24. Well, the God I serve is... Really? Because that's not what he did with the Edomites. And God began to just work in me, realizing, man, I had a whole lot of religion in my life. And the passage that got me was when Jesus was telling the Pharisees, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. And I realized I can read my Bible and still miss Jesus. And it broke my heart. And I realized I was very religious, but I didn't have a relationship with him. But imagine this, verse 13. And also Maacah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. Now, we already talked about how messed up this is, right? This Maacah being his mom, whatever this is. The reality is that she's serving a false god. That she is not serving the God that he serves. And Asa has to make a choice. Am I going to do what the family has always said? Or am I going to serve the Lord? It's a big choice. And he removes her from being queen. Demoted. You're fired, Donald Trump. You're fired. He fires his mom from being queen. Here's your third one. You got to take on family. You have to deal with your family. Let me put it this way. Identify yourself with the Lord and let go of the baggage. Amen? Identify yourself with the Lord and let go of the baggage. We have a college ministry. I'm sure you guys have a college ministry. You guys have a college ministry at New Philly? No? Yeah? Okay. I get no, yes. Yeah, so somebody needs to get the anger together. All right, so we have a college ministry. We have a little community college in our church, and we had this girl show up out of nowhere. Just bam. Cute little blonde in the back corner. And she's trying to hide and not be seen. And so I go up to her and I say, hey, glad you're here. Where are you from? Well, I'm from such and such little tiny town. 400 people in her little town. And she grew up Catholic. And had to always go to Catholic school. And Catholic church. And Catholic this and Catholic that. And she says, I always wanted to try a different church, and I thought if I'm going to go to college, I might as well try something different. Well, I'm glad you're here, Andy. Glad you're here. She got saved. She met Jesus Christ. It was amazing to see. Just, man, she was in bondage, and she was just totally consumed, believing in a false Christ. And she met Jesus Christ as her Savior. Let me just say this. Came time for her to be baptized. And that was a huge decision for her. Because the moment she chose to be baptized was the moment she lost her family. And to watch a 19-year-old girl have to make the choice to serve Jesus over her family was excruciatingly painful to watch. And she wrestled with it for months and months. And months, she finally said, I got to follow Jesus. She got baptized. She submitted to the Lord. And guess what? Her family didn't get rid of her. They didn't understand it. They came to church because they saw a change in their daughter. They saw something different. Listen, you can't meet Christ and not be changed. So if you're here today and say, well, I'm saved, did your life change? Because if it didn't change, then you didn't meet Christ. Amen? Amen? You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It is not possible to meet Jesus and not be changed. That is a fact, Jack. That's just reality. Listen, I wish I had more time. But the reality is we have to take on culture, you have to take on religion, you have to take on some family issues. There's some times where you're going to have to make a choice. Do I follow Jesus or do I follow what my family's always done? Here's the choice. I need to identify with the Lord and let go of my baggage, right? So I told you I'm from Western Kansas. My last name is, can you remember? Godfrey. He's made me free. I'm not free of him, right? Godfrey. But you go to Western Kansas, you go a little bit west of Dodge City, and you mention the last name Godfrey, you're going to go, oh, I know your family. Anytime I go out there, I get the weird looks. You're one of those. Your last name's Godfrey. This is how bad it got. I wanted to petition and get my last name changed to my mom's maiden name because I hated my last name. Still not very partial to it. Because it means something in Western Kansas. And this is why God gave me my wife. Because I'm telling her this. And she goes, babe, I'm Mrs. Godfrey. I don't want to be Mrs. Blake. She says, that's who you used to be. You can make Godfrey mean something different now. And I needed to hear that. I don't have to be who I used to be. I hear the name Godfrey and I run back to who I was, living in a trailer house with the floor wide open and rats and everywhere. That's what I picture. That's how I, every time I hear the name Godfrey, and it doesn't have to mean that anymore. I don't live in Western Kansas anymore. Praise the Lord. Listen, I am no longer my father's son. But I am my father's son. You no longer have to hold on to the hand that's been dealt you. You don't have to hold on to that. You don't have to let that hold you back. Listen, how many lives are going to be changed because of Asa in that kingdom? Thousands? Maybe even a million. How many lives will be changed because you change? How many lives will be changed because you chose to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord? Not the eyes of Cale. Not the eyes of First Baptist Church, but in the eyes of the Lord, how many lives would be changed? How many people would be affected by that? And can I just say, it doesn't matter. Amen? Don't carry that weight. That's not your mess to carry. That's His. He's doing a work in you. Amen? Because the most important person that's going to be affected by it is who? You. Ready for your last four blanks? I am worth it. And some of you right now, you won't even write it down because you don't believe it. You're worth it. God loves you. God wants to do a work in your life. You don't have to hold on to the past. You don't have to hold on to who you used to be. God will change you. Amen? Yeah, let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you as people are settling in and putting their stuff away. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the words that we heard, Lord, I pray that they would continue to penetrate our soul, Lord, that they would continue to work in our hearts. And Lord, that we don't have to hold on to who we used to be. We can hold on to who you made us to be. Lord, I pray that we would identify ourselves as children of the King. And Lord, if there's somebody here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would deal with that today. Lord, that they would cry out to you and ask for you to save them. Lord, that they might know you as Savior. We ask all this in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.